Good afternoon. Thank you very much for being here in the presentation. Today I'm going to present some results of an experiment we did this summer. And a screening of 62 soybean cultivars, trying to evaluate genotypic variation in ecophysiological traits affecting yield. First of all, I would like to address that we focus on processes affecting mostly seed numbers. We did that because if we plot yields and seed numbers per meter square, we can see that a variation in about 2,000 kilos is mostly explained by differences in seed numbers, even though there is still some of the variation explained by seed weight, which is these isolines. So that's why we focus on processes that affect pod production and seed set. There are different theoretical frameworks to try to model or understand the determination of seed numbers. We pick one that was based on previous papers of Charles Edwards, Egli, and Vega et al. And as I said before, we're going to focus on processes that determine seed numbers. So at a first level of analysis, we can model or understand seed numbers as a function of how much biomass it is accumulating in the reproductive tissues at R5, which is more or less the end of the critical period for soybeans, and the seed set efficiency, which is the amount that, of seeds that are set per unit of reproductive biomass. Here, by reproductive biomass, I mean all the, it's basically pod weights and R5. There are a little bit of seed weight, but it's mostly pod weight. If we move to another level of analysis, we can understand the reproductive biomass determination as a function of the total biomass that is accumulating during the critical period between R1 and R5, and how much that biomass is partitioned to the reproductive tissues. If we move to another level, we can understand the accumulation of total biomass as a function of how much nitrogen is accumulating during the critical period, and how and the physiological nitrogen use efficiency, which is the amount of biomass that is produced per unit of nitrogen uptake. As we can see here, there are different pathways that can lead us to increased yield or seed number. For example, we can have increased every NLF being equal, we can have increased seed numbers by having more reproductive biomass at R5, or by having the same reproductive biomass and increasing seed set efficiency. And again, everything else being equal, we can have more reproductive biomass from this level to this level by having more accumulation of total biomass during the critical period, or by having an increased reproductive partitioning, which are these dotted lines. And the same can be applied for nitrogen. We can have more total biomass accumulating during the critical period by having more total nitrogen uptake and the same physiological nitrogen use efficiency, or by having more physiological nitrogen use efficiency of a same amount of total nitrogen uptake. So, based on all these processes, we have two hypotheses. The first one is that genetic improvement in soybean yield may have occurred from different strategies of combination of these strategies. And the second hypothesis is that within the group of modern high-yielding cultivars, there may be variation in the strategies these cultivars use to produce that highest yield. So based on this hypothesis, we have three objectives. The first one is to have a between comparison of a set of modern and old cultivars in terms of these different processes that I have explained. The second is to evaluate variation within these groups in these same processes. And finally, the third objective is to identify a set of top yielding genotypes and try to find out if they have, if there is variation in the strategies they have to construct highest yield. So this is the list of cultivars we use. We have 41 modern cultivars, commercial cultivars, and 21 old cultivars released more than 10 years ago, and even more. The experiment was a randomized complete block design. We evaluate these 62 cultivars in two locations in Iowa. We have two reps and four row plots of 5.5 meters length. And we measure biomass at R1, R3, R5. And we at R5, we separated all the pots to estimate reproductive biomass at that moment. And then we estimate the nitrogen concentration on all these organs, all these harvests by combustion. And then at maturity, we have seed numbers and yield. So those were the variables that we measured. Now we're going to explain the calculations that we made to estimate the other variables. So the first one was seed set efficiency, which is the ratio between how many seeds are set at maturity and the amount of reproductive biomass present at R5. The second one is the partitioning to reproductive organs, which is the ratio between the reproductive biomass, which is the difference between total biomass and vegetative biomass. This difference is the same as this value. So the ratio reproductive biomass divided total accumulated biomass is the partitioning coefficient. And finally, we calculated what we call the physiological nitrogen use efficiency, which is the ratio between the biomass accumulated during the critical period divided the nitrogen accumulated during the same period. So these three variables, I'm gonna present the results on these three variables that we calculated, and also on reproductive biomass, total biomass accumulated during the critical period, and nitrogen uptake during the critical period too. So first, in this slide, we have a between group significant difference. As expected, modern cultivars have more seed set per meter square, which means more yield than the old cultivars. There is still a lot of significant variation within the groups. We can see here the frequency distribution of all the cultivars, and for the old and for the new ones. Now, if we move to reproductive biomass at R5, we can see that there is no significant differences between the groups. There are still variation within the groups of both old and modern cultivars. Now we focus on seed set efficiency, which is no different between the old and modern cultivar. It's about an average 32 seeds per gram of biomass accumulated at R5. And still there is variation within the group. Even in modern cultivar, we can have some cultivar having around 20, 24 seed per gram as seed set efficiency, and other 40 or 42. So there is a huge variation within this modern cultivar group. Biomass at R5, biomass accumulated between R1 and R5 was significantly different. As modern cultivars have more biomass accumulated than all other cultivars. Within the group, there's still variation. We can see that for modern cultivars, we can have some varieties having around 300 grams of biomass accumulating during the critical period, while there are some others with more than 400 or 440. This is a reproductive partitioning. On average, it was not different between the groups. It's about 20 grams of biomass, reproductive biomass, partitioned per unit of or total biomass accumulating during the critical period. And still, there are a lot of variation within the groups. Here we can have some genotypes in the modern group having 0.14, while we can have other cultivars having more than 0.24. And total nitrogen uptake was marginally was significantly different between the groups, having a modern cultivar more total nitrogen uptake than older. And still there are significant genotypic variation within the groups of modern. You can have some cultivar having 7, 8, or 9, and some other having more than 12 nitrogen uptake. And finally, the physiological physiological nitrogen use efficiency wasn't significantly different between the groups. In both cases, the distribution was centered around 36, but still we have some significant variation within the groups of modern cultivar. We have some genotype having 30 or 32 grams of biomass produced per unit of nitrogen uptake, and we can have other around 40 or 42. So far I have presenting result of the between group comparison and the within group comparison. Now we're moving to the next objective, that was to identify top yielding cultivars and try to find out if they have different strategies to make that high yield. So to do that, we did a cluster analysis for within numbers of the variable. With this analysis, we were able to identify a well-defined cluster with 7 cultivars having the highest seed numbers. And these are the 7 cultivars that were clustered together. These are the seed numbers. You can see they're all around 2,500, and there are no difference between them. And these are all the variables that we need to take into account to finally get this number. We have total nitrogen uptake that is multiplied by physiological nitrogen use efficiency to get total biomass accumulated. That multiplied by the reproductive efficiency and CZ efficiency give us the number. And this is the average of all the cultivars, of these 7 cultivars. And within this, from the 60 genotypes that we had, we can identify these 7, and from these 7, there are two very different genotypes that we can find here. For example, HE2909 have a lower than an average total nitrogen uptake. It have high than average physiological nitrogen use efficiency. It have relative low reproductive partitioning, but it has the highest seed set efficiency. And in another extreme of this continuum, we can have this genotype, ML2666, having the highest total nitrogen uptake, the lowest nitrogen use efficiency, and an average reproductive partitioning, and the lowest seed set efficiency. So from this simple analysis, we can identify two main strategies, both in the same group of top yielding genotypes. One based on high efficiency, which we can see here, high nitrogen use efficiency and high seed set efficiency. Another one that is based mostly on high resource capture, which is this total nitrogen uptake. So the next question I would like to address, if it is possible to combine several strategies on one genotype to produce a super soybean. So for doing that, I'm going to do a naive exercise, that is just to calculate how could be the yield of that high yielding cultivar if we combine the highest value of each of those traits. And if we combine those, we can have a soybean with 6,500 seeds per meter square, and having that considering a very conservative seed weight, we can get a soybean with almost 8,000 kilos, which is very close to the biological limit that Jim Speck were talking about in some of the sessions 2 days ago. So, but there are some problems that we always have negative correlation between these traits. And I analyzed this for this set of data, and we have some correlations negative. I'm not going to present that today because of lack of timing. So So the conclusion for this, the first conclusion is that there are the difference between modern and old cultivars are basically limited to increases in biomass accumulation during the critical period. So one implication may be that there are future increases may rely on improvement in other traits. The second one is that significant variation exists within groups of modern and old cultivars, which makes still selection possible within group of very improved materials. And the last one is the one that I like the most, is that we identify some cultivars, high-yielding cultivars that make that high yield by using different strategies, more uptake or more efficient. And one implication of that is that, in general, breeders tend to cross good genotype to get even better genotypes. And I think that it may be worthwhile to select parents that are good, but they are good because of they have different strategies, and I think this may be a worthwhile strategy to cross those parents with the different strategies. Future research of lines that I will pursue is, first of all, is evaluate the stability of these traits across environments. There are one paper of Vega, Sadras, Andrade that shows that for soybean, seed set efficiency and reproductive partition is fairly stable across different growing conditions. And the second one is to evaluate the nature of the negative correlation between these traits to answer if it is a physiological or biophysical correlation that cannot be broken, or is it due to genetic linkage. Lastly, I would like to thank all the group of people that helped me, Tim, Alicia, Jim, Brent, and Catherine, because they helped me a lot in the field. With that, I would like to address some questions. Okay. I have my flight tomorrow, so I can't. Yeah.
Do you have any idea of the source of your nitrogen, how much might be due to fixation versus nitrate uptake per se in these quite diverse?
No. I don't know. I don't know if they differ in the proportion of nitrogen or the source of the nitrogen. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm trying to recall somewhere in either popular literature or published literature, scientific literature, seeds per pod, has that been shown to have a trend upward?
Seed per pod?
Yeah, seed per pod on modern versus obsolete.
I don't remember, but I think that's pretty stable character. Yeah.
We've done work with very old varieties versus modern, and it's around 2.54 if you average it across.
Is that 2.5 no matter what?
Yeah, it's okay. Very short.
Okay.
Very short.
Yeah.
The
variation is between the first graph show is 160 milligrams and 200. But that 200 is one extreme, it's a high protein line with big seeds. Mm-hmm. So the range is a little bit smaller. Yeah.
If you had to establish a set of contrasting lines that you could propose to a breeder,
uh-huh,
or being contrasting if there's a possible crossing.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you can generate these data on enough lines to generate some options for a breeder?
I think so. We did this with 62. It's a good number. You're asking about the like practical feasibility.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I think that the analysis could be even simpler, so we can lose some detail, but we can address more lines. But we did this with pretty good detail, and with 62. So, yeah.
Are the seed composition fitted to your trait? How much difference was there in seed composition?
That's a good question. I have all that data, but I didn't have time to look at it. I don't think there is, at least in the old set of commercials, cultivars. There is not, there, I just look at through the data, there wasn't much variation. But I don't have the data analyzed, so.
Could you speculate on the reason for the negative correlation between high CSAT efficiency and nitrogen capture?
The negative correlation between
CSAT efficiency?
Between CSAT efficiency and nitrogen capture, yeah. I don't think I can speculate on that. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't see. At the top of my head, I don't see a clear link between those two. So, in terms of physiology, so yeah, if you have any idea.
The only thing that I could think of was the allocation to the root system or something of that nature.
Maybe. We are repeating this experiment this summer in South America, and the plan is to look also at below ground productivity to assess also the partitioning between up and above ground and below ground organs. So, yeah, but that's a good suggestion.
Do you think that your findings would transfer to other seed crops as well?
I hope so, yeah. This was originally planned to be conducted in corn. So there are also theoretical framework or models that fit corn. So I think that can fit other crops easily.
Have any more questions? If not, we have about 7 minutes of a break until next talk.